Okay, I think it's very appropriate that Rav Hirsch ends the ending of our learning of Rav Hirsch is very much a review of a lot of the major topics that that we've been discussing all year long. He begins by discussing the entire point of this whole business of the Parah Aduma. A person becomes Tmei Meis, right? He comes in contact with a dead person, goes to a funeral, is in the same room as a dead person, touches a dead body. He's Tamei for 7 days. So he begins by discussing how the Parah Aduma symbolizes the whole goal of being a Jew. Chatas, Akiras Achatas, Abitl Meis Achet, He musak hakasher beladis l'tchom ha-musari. Hinei mitzvahs paradumi hi chukas ha-Torah. Right? The Torah says about the paraduma, zos chukas ha-Torah. Ha-chukah ha-yisodis shall call Torah's tumas meis shehi atzmos sugi kari shall call Torah's ha-tumah v'chalal. Tumas meis is the main example of tumah. Why is it called chukas ha-Torah? He says, v'hol v'ha-Torah koris l'paraduma chatas. The Torah calls it a chatas. Arei he mechavenes es datenu bebirus al atchom ha-musari. Pemiskeres ha-tchom hazeh aleinu levakeshes ha-mashmoz shel Torahs ha-tumah v'hatar b'chlal v'shemitz paradum b'fra. We have to understand what's the whole notion in Judaism about tumah and tara, and what's the whole idea of the parah aduma, that the parah aduma somehow solves the issue of tumah v'tar. Mikan raya machras l'tfisha k'aragana le'biyachas chol ha-halachal hilchos tumah v'tar sheni donu b'tar ad-ko. Chirus Musaris. He understands that Tumah V'Tara, the idea is Chirus Musaris. Chirus Musaris means a person has moral freedom. Moral freedom. That the whole goal of a Jew in this world is to choose between right and wrong, between holy and not holy, between to take his physical body, that's going to be the whole thing he discusses, and subjugate it and direct it and control it. The person has the moral freedom, the ability to choose what to do with his body, what to do with his taivas, what to do with his passions. Rav Hirsch keeps on telling us, we live in the physical world. We know we're supposed to be living in the physical world. We eat, we drink, we sleep, we have relations. We do all physical things that involve bodily taivas, but the job of a Jew is to have that moral freedom. That's what Tumah V'Tara is about, according to Rav Hirsch, and he explains it more. Sakana nishkefes la'emes yisodu zu mul mara pnei adam hanichna la'maves. And he says that death, the specter of death, touching death, coming in contact with death, being in the same body as a dead person, that flies in the face of this moral freedom, because death implies life is just, you know, that life is physical, life is predetermined, you have to die, you can't do anything about it, you know, there's no way to avoid it. Ki hagufa enoshes mafkinas koach hamaves lein kol v'amistakel hashit chiroa ba'es koach hateva hasholei pakol. A person who looks at death superficially sees that death implies that nature controls everything. V'akofa gamesa adam. Nature controls, just like you can't avoid dying. There's nobody who, so too, you can't avoid your taivas, you can't avoid your passions. Life is all about the physical body. And you look, the body dies and then it's over. The body has no control. Im ha'adam kulo hukra ide hamaves. Im ha'gufa mi'atzeges es ha'adam. If you think your body, and there are people in this world who think that the world is all about the body. It's all about having the most pleasure, having the most fun, right? It's all about the body. That's what defines a person. What defines a person is his body. So the goal in life is to have as much pleasure as you can. The goal in life is to have as much fun as you can, to amass as much wealth as you can, and to spend money on things and have things and buy things and own things. Im ha-gufa miyatzeges ha-adam shuvas ha-yidei ha-koreach ha-gufani v'nimtza she-adam kulo gam bodu b'chayim. And it turns out that man, even while he's alive, m'shuvat l'chayach ha-sholet b'chol, he is a slave to fate that rules over everything. That's what death implies. Rav Hirsch has stressed this idea many times already about why Judaism has this aversion to death. If you touch a dead body, you're tummy. If you're in the same room as a dead body, you're tummy. We don't like that. Kamo, kishar, kol yitzuri ateva. And man is just like all the other animals. right? Just like all the other animals, they're all about the body, and the body dies, right? Man is also, he's about the body. Oh, Oz, Yesh Balam Rak Hechreach, the world is all about, you're forced into nature. And this same idea says there is no place for this moral freedom, this choice, this freedom of choice that a person has to decide to choose to do the right things in life. And Imsa, Shacherus HaMusaris, he Ashlaya, Toras HaMusar, HaElokis, Ein LaMuvan HaDrisho, Se'al Imsa B'chiros, Es HaAvayev, Es HaRatzon, Le'ish HaMikdash HaMzakek, Es HaMachaya, Tulios Panachal She'en Lahem, Shachar. Toras HaTumah V'Atara, K'mos Shiksu B'Sif HaYiko, Lo Ba'el HaLishlos HaRayon HaZeh. The whole idea of Tumah V'Atara is coming to negate this faulty perspective on life. Mol dimyon hatatuim shel choser acheros afizi sheyesh bak delvat al kol musar harehi ma'amida es uvdas acheros amusaris shehashem meyelav. B'chol mahalach hachayim kol emes shemiskal ha'shibur ha'gufani ha'machlish es koach ha'todah musaris. Anytime you find this idea that we're slaves to our physical bodies, harehi ma'oreres es yisod ha'tara shel acheros amusaris. So this idea of taking the red cow, the Parah Aduma, is a public act against this idea of the rulership that the body and physical desires have over us. How is that? This act of burning the Parah Aduma, shechting it, and burning it, and taking the ashes and mixing water into it, the whole thing, this was done in public, in front of all the Jewish people, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, mol pnei HaMikdash, v'akoyin ha-miyatzik is klai yisrael yachris b'may sezeh al ha-rayon ha-gadol shel chatos. It's called a chatos. The Torah calls this whole process of shechting the red cow, and burning it, and putting the water, it's called mei chatos. You could see it in the Chumash. It's called chatos. Rav Hirsch puts a lot of emphasis on this word chatas. You could see the word chatas shows up a few times in the very beginning of our parsha. If you look at the beginning of the parsha, right? Lamei nidah chatasi, right? Pasuk tes, yeah. It's called a chatas. The whole thing is called a chatas. What does that prove? Chatas means something that purifies. This Parah Aduma is supposed to teach the Jewish people the truth, which is the moral foundation of all of Chaye Ha'am, the entire life of the people. And this is the truth that the act of Parah Aduma is trying to proclaim. Ha'adam yachal lios naki min achet. A person can be clean from sin. Lihinakos min achet ulishar menuka min achet. A person can be clean of chet. He can cleanse himself from sin and he can remain clean from sin. Zuhi mashmaus hachatos hazos hanasis michutz lamikdash. This is the implication of this chatos, which is done outside Beis Hamikdash. Ein hi doma lekarbanos hachatos hanasim besoch hamikdash. This chatos of the Parah Aduma is not similar to the chatos, the carbon chatos that was done inside the Beis Hamikdash. It was not similar. Good morning, Reb Nissen. Good morning, Gabi. Ki halalu mechaper al adam mesuyam mechet mesuyam. The other karbanos, atone for a specific sin, for a certain sin, for a specific sin. Akapar musekes ben ma'idei ma'ises simli shel neder hamavate es ratzon ha'adam l'kayim es chavas mikano lahaba. Right, and those karbanos are mechaper for a specific person from a specific sin. And the kapara is achieved through a symbolic act. Shel neder amavate yisratzon adam l'kayim es chavas mikan al haba. V'il chata zum idu miida kavel am This is for the nation, that the nation is capable to be clean from sin. Again, this is the very, very foundation of all of Judaism, that we have the ability to stay clean from sin, that our physical bodies, death does not control us. Death does not decide our destinies. Death might be the end of our bodies, but that's only a minor piece of us. The main piece of us is the soul that has the ability to control, to make choices, to decide, no, I don't want this. I don't want to do what's wrong. I don't want to say what's wrong. I don't want to eat what's wrong. I don't want to allow my physical body and desires to control me. That's the whole idea of Parah Aduma against death. When you come in contact with death, when you're in the same body, same room as a dead body, when you touch a dead body, the Parah Aduma symbolizes the whole nation. This is the whole Yesod of Judaism. And he says it here again. Ve'ilu chatazu, towards the end of the first page, me'ida kaval am ve'ida, opposite the people, she'ha'adam misugal liyos naki minachet. A person is possible, it's possible for a person to be clean from sin. Velishlot b'chol ha'giruyim ha'gufanim, and to rule over any of the physical bodily desires and bodily temptations. Chatas zu machrizal ha'uvda klalit she'yesh la'adam koach ratzon musari. Man has a moral compass. Man has the moral choice and the moral ability to make the choices to do the right thing, to have his soul control his body, to have his soul make those decisions and subjugate the body and tame the body and convince the body to go in a certain direction. That's the whole idea of the Parah Aduma against death. Death symbolizes the fact that nature controls you. You're going to die. Your body is going to be over. Life is all about just the body and you have no control over it. Just like death, you have no control over. So too, that's the whole idea of the Parah Aduma against that. Ulam, himachrizal chayrus ha'adam tok shehimakirabu uvdat hayot mishubad. But says Rav Hirsch, at the same time that the whole act of the Parah Aduma, and this is what we're going to be explaining the whole most of the shir today, it's going to be about this topic. Rav Hirsch says, however, this ritual of the Parah Aduma slaughter and the burning of the cow and taking the ashes and putting it into the Mayim Chayim, the mixture was mostly water, just a little bit of ashes, mostly water, and a little bit of dirt, mostly water. The same process, at the same time that it declares man's moral freedom to make choices, to decide to do the right thing, it also acknowledges the fact that man is mishubad. Man is under the influence of that body. That body plays a huge role in man, and man has to understand. This is why, I mean, some people, Herbie talks to me about this all the time, and why he loves so much of Rav Hirsch's ideas, because Rav Hirsch, he's talking to us. He recognizes that we have those. HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that he gave us these taivas. We have to know, it's not like we have no challenges. It's not like, oh, life is so simple and there's no... No, reverse stresses, he says. Ulam, however, he machriza, at the same time that this ritual talks about that we have the moral choice and the ability to control, this ritual itself acknowledges the fact that it's not easy. And we have that body that's fighting against us at all times, and we have to know that we're in a war at every minute. And we know that we are under the influence of these physical desires. Ulam, hima chiza, al chayir sa'adam, toch shehima kira, bovdas hayoso meshubad. At the same time that we recognize that we are meshubad, we are slaves to that body, himare es hachayir hamusaris behekshir im hashibad agufani. Both, it's a contradiction. The whole Parah Aduma talks about the contradiction within the same thing. It shows us our moral freedom at the same time that it shows us our physical slavery, our slavery to our bodies. Ein hi mora l'itzum einayim. You don't close your eyes and deny that you have those taivas. U'lehisalim en hashibud ha'gufani shebeteva ha'adam, that's part of man's nature. No! Don't ignore, you can't ignore that physical part. This ritual shows us the living contradiction that we live with at all times in our natures. Kihu ben timusa. We are of flesh and blood, that we're only here for a little while on this earth and then we're gone. V'yachad imze hu nitzchi. We are both finite and eternal. Hu mishubad. We are enslaved to our body. V'yachad imze hu chafshi. We're slaves and we're free. Yesh bo kochas gufaniim. We have physical drives and desires. B'tzad kochos musariim. And we have a powerful neshama that has the ability to control those desires and make the choices. In short, the human being for our first is a bundle of contradictions. We are a bundle of contradictions. V'kach hi tofeses, and the whole Parah Adum, you're going to see the way he talks about the Parah Adum ritual, the water. Because you have the ashes of the cow, you have the dust of the earth, and you have the water, the mayim chayim, the life. That's what he says is the whole mixture. And the mixture symbolizes the water way overtakes the dust and the ashes. And that's why, Gavi, we view the Gemara calls that, and Rav Hirsch has said this many times already, that the guf is like a na'al, it's like a shoe. Right? Just like the shoe, your shoe just covers the bottom little piece of you. The whole rest of you is much more. The guf is considered, that's why God told Moshe at the burning bush, take your shoes off. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Take your shoes off. By taking shoes off, he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe had the ability to sort of remove those shoes. Moshe was his physical, his spiritual side of him was like so huge. He could, that's how he could live for 40 days and 40 nights with no food. Because by him, the body was like, he was able to totally overcome the body. Because by him, the body was meaningless. It was so meaningless to him. For all of us, we have the ability to control our bodies to X amount. But Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability much more than that to totally control. And that's why God told him, take off your shoes. By telling him to take off your shoes, he says, Moshe, I'm giving you the ability to mamash overcome all of your physical. Because the shoe represents just that little piece that's just the bottom. But the rest of us is... So if you can imagine us, we're the body is just a little piece of us. Our souls are like way up there. The body is just a shoe. Just a shoe. The soul is the rest of us. It's much more. We tend to think that all of us is the body. Says our first, no, the body is just a little piece of us. Our soul is like way, way, way above the body, has much more control. That's the mayim chayim that totally, totally negates the afar and the afer of the para aduma. He's going to talk this out. There's just coming attractions. Here we go. Let's keep with it. Here we go. Bottom line. When a person makes that decision to have the moral clarity to control his body, he elevates us. Yeah, Herbie, you missed. You got a shout out already. You're going to have to listen to it on the recording. With man's eternal moral abilities, he can conquer that body. Man can elevate that body to the realm of the free choice. Hanitzchi. He could elevate that body to the realm of the eternal. Shelakel hayachid v'omereslo. And man's moral clarity and freedom of choice tells the body, tells himself, Al teilech sholel acharei hagufa v'hamavis. Don't follow nature and the body and death. Ela hayei chafshi, be free. Hayei ben almaves. Lo lamros kochasach hagufaniim. Not despite your physical abilities. Hamishubadim b'nei hatmusa. Ela im kol hakochos eila. Together with these physical drives and body, elevate them. Hayei ribon. Be a leader. Be a ruler. Be a master to your body. Be a master to your body. Just read it to you in the English. Right, the whole purpose of the laws of Tum and Taras present. Hold on a second. Yeah. Right. Do not be misled by the sight of corpses and of death. Become free, become immortal, not despite, but along with all those aspects of your existence. that are mortal and physically fettered. Be the immortal master of your mortal body in the midst of Tumah. In the midst of Tumah, preserve your Tahara. From this perspective, which is attained through the concept of Chatas, we can understand the meaning of the mitzvah of Para Aduma. And now he continues a little bit more later. This is what I just told you before. Ulam, ha'efer hazeh, the ashes, these ashes, no'ad lehisarev b'mayim chayim. We take the ashes of the red cow and dust of the earth, and we place it, and it gets mixed into the water. Uvetarov ezuhu yaskiris harayon shel hachai hanitzchi shenismazeg zmanes machover anikav. I recall, I want to remind you of what Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita said at Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky's Levaya. His whole short little hesped was basically about he's just gone off somewhere for a little while. Death is not what we think, oh, it's the end of everything. It's just, he goes away for a little while, he'll be returning, he'll be coming back. And, you know, with the Tchias HaMesim, that's what Rav Hirsch is stressing over here. Achai HaNitzchi, our souls live forever. Our souls live forever. And the soul is the main part of us. The main part of us. The body goes away for a little bit and comes back by Tchias HaMesim. For a little bit of time, the soul, which is eternal, gets mixed into the body. And the idea of the Paraduma is to remind anyone who's come in contact with death, who's touched a dead body, or who's been come in contact with death, and anyone who comes in contact with death gets confused in their hearts a little bit, this idea of the eternal life, of the fact that man lives eternally. V'chol od rayon zem mi'urpal, arafel, means mixed up, it's cloudy. It's cloudy, yeah, exactly. V'chol od rayon zem mi'urpal belibam, hurchakum min amigdosh mikdashav. You have to stay away from Beis HaMikdash. If you're a Tamei, you have to stay away because Beis HaMikdash talks about eternal, lasting, everlasting life. Adas bnei Yisrael omedas al basis ha'eloki ha'nitzchi. The Jewish people stand on the foundation of an eternal, spiritual, godly eternity. Shehu ha'tnai l'koach ha'ratzon ha'chofshi v'amusari sheba'adam. And that's the whole foundation of man's moral free choice. La'adas bnei Yisrael yeh ha'efer hazeh l'mishmeres l'mei nida. Now listen to this. So Rav Hirsch talks about, again, I don't know if we're going to see it inside, but he says how the water of the Para Aduma water totally encompasses and overtakes the ashes. The Para Aduma, the ashes, symbolize Para, the animal, the Shtikferd. The para talks about, that's the physical, that symbolizes the physical piece of man, and we reduce it to ashes, because man's body is going to end up being el afar, afar atav el afar tav. Again, we don't believe in cremating the body into ashes. No, that's not what we believe in. But el afar atav el afar tashav. Your body's going to be returned to the dirt. So we take dirt, and we take ashes, and we put it in the water, but then it dissolves. The ashes dissolve in the water. You can't see the ashes in the Paraduma. It dissolves totally, symbolizing the fact that the body is just a little piece, but really the major part of man. See, we think the body is our major part, and the soul is a little thing that tries to knock the body every once in a while. We try to make a right choice once in a while. But we don't realize, the verse says, no, the soul totally overtakes the body. The soul is way up there. The body is just like the shoe. The little piece at the bottom, but the soul is really what's our major part of us. And so if we would just give it the life, when you see great people, you see great tzaddikim, so then you understand what it means to have the soul totally control the body. Right? By the great tzaddikim, the body plays no role. It's so insignificant. They don't care about their bodies at all. By us, unfortunately, we think the body is the major part. Oh, now, so Hirsch says so beautifully, why do you sprinkle the Para Aduma water on the guy who's come in contact with that person? Gavi, why is it the third day and the seventh day? What's the symbolism? You sprinkle the water, right? By Yom HaShlishi, by Yom HaShvi'i, right? Take a look in Pasuk Yud Beis on page 447. Sprinkle it, page 447 on the bottom. Sprinkle the water on the third day and the seventh day. And if you don't do it on the third and seventh day, no go. What's the symbolism? Kvar hareinu beperish bereshis. Yesh tzad shaveh ben ayom ha-shlishi shel abriya leben ayom ha-shvi. There was something in common on the third day of creation and the seventh day of creation. What was in common of the third day? On the third day, what was created? Let's see what he says. Oh. Get a few in the English over here. Let's see. He says, what's the common denominator? By Yom HaShlishi Nivra Olam HaFizi, Organi, the physical, organic world, Kishu Tavua B'matpeh HaKisha Lemino. You may remember way back to Bereishis. Rav Hirsch made this big, he made a big deal over the fact that the Torah keeps saying Leminehu, Lemino, Leminehu on day three. It means all of the plant life was created Leminehu, right? Leminehu. Day three was all about the physical world, the organic world, ha-organiyim, ha-mishtabdim l'chol ka-eloki. But that organic world had to be l'minehu. God subjugated that world. God said, when you plant an apple seed, a pear tree does not come out. An apple tree comes out. Even if that apple seed always wanted to be a pear, he'd grown up all his life wanting to be a pear. Just make me a pear. That's all I want in life. Too bad. You're controlled by God. God controlled you. God made you. God gave you the capability. As much as you want to be an apple, as much as you want to be a pear, you're going to be an apple, and you're always going to be an apple, and your seeds are always going to be apples. You have no choice over that. What about the seventh day? Ki ha'adam shenivra b'tzelem elokim ha'moshel ba'olam. Man who has the ability to create and to work and to build and to do what he wants. One day a week he takes a step back and says, it's not about me. It's about what Hashem wants. On that day we stop. We say we're not going to create. We're going to totally give ourselves over to the rulership of Hashem. Al kol chaye amaisa shelo. Ulefikach hahazaya, the sprinkling of this para aduma water, which was supposed to describe to man that your physical body can be controlled by the master, your soul. Ulefikach hahazaya hapone el haadam kaal yitzur fizi organi nimser el yom hashlishi. Let me try to read this to you in the English, because I think he'll do a better job of it. I don't know where it disappeared to over here. Here it is. Therefore, the hazaya that is directed to man as a physical, organic creature is assigned to the third day, and the hazaya that is directed to man as a spiritual, godlike being is assigned to the seventh day. On whatever day the first Hazayah takes place, from the third onward, that day is regarded as though it was the third day, and then 4 days must pass for the second Hazayah, which is considered on the seventh day. That the Hazayah of Mechatas alludes to the days of creation, thus investing the days of Hazayah with their special character, is not a far-fetched idea. For as we have already stated, Mechatas, which contains Afar, Va'olav Mayim Chayim El Keli, symbolize man in his genesis at the time of creation. To review then, the first Hazayah, the third day, paves the way for man's physical bodily purification. The second, that of the seventh day, paves the way for spiritual godly purification. Only then can the whole man, or human nature in its entirety, attain complete purity. Hazayah utfil al adam v'kelim. Wow. So the third day talks about the physical body being subjugated, And the seventh day talks about subjugating your soul, the subjugating your spiritual, your thoughts, your mind, and then you're ready to understand this idea. Wow. So again, I started off with was that this week is really a beautiful summary of all of Rav Hirsch's thought, and really a very, very important lesson going into the summertime, especially. Is a very important lesson about how we can do it. We can control. That's the big thing. I like to say all the time, you know, about dieting, right? That's the whole idea. The whole idea. You can control. There are people who can control. You can control. You can go to a wedding and you don't have to eat also from the shmorg and from the appetizer and from the main course and from the dessert and from, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. But it's a symbol, symbolic of the fact that it's possible. It's possible for a person to train himself and to control himself. No, I don't need it. I don't need it. I want to be healthy. A person wants to be healthy, wants to eat healthy. You can do it. You can control. You can train yourself. It's a muscle. It's a muscle for life, for everything in life. The mind is a very, very powerful tool. It's like a muscle. You have to train it. You have to stretch it. You have to use it the right way. You can control yourself. You can guide it. You can direct it. That's the whole idea of the soul and the body. The soul has the ability to control the body, mind over matter. This is Rav Hirsch's big yesod. We live in the world. He knows it. We know we have the physical. We work. You're supposed to work for a living. You have to work. But you have to let your moral and spiritual decisions, the way you talk at work, the way you talk to the people at work, the way you deal with your money, the way we write, this is supposed to control. Your mind has the ability to control your soul. Your soul has the ability to purify and to sanctify all of the physical acts of this world. Let's do a little bit more in the time that we have. Vatamas sham Miriam vatikaver sham. So, unfortunately, Parshas Chukas, we lose Miriam and we lose Aaron. Parshas Chukas says of Hirsch, "Vatamas sham Miriam, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Aleph." Vatamas sham Miriam, he sima es shlichusa ale adamos. Miriam finished her shlichus on this world. Kuvra beKadesh, she was buried in Kadesh. Yodia ludar achron. Shelo estalkam in olam ad shelo haya ador chadash muchan laaser muftachlo. The fact that she was buried in Kadesh will tell the people, will be for all generations a message. Her grave in Kadesh would show future generations that she did not leave this world until the new generation was ready for the future that had been promised to it. The Masa Haaroch VeHaAshir BeNisyonos Kashim Lo Hayu Anashim Shutfos L'Maisei Avigida BaHashem. All right, let me read you the rest in English over here. We'll go a little bit quicker. During Israel's long wanderings, filled with so many difficult experiences, the women did not take part in the incidents of defection from God, which resulted from despair. The women didn't take part in the sins of the wilderness. They cheerfully trusted in God and devotedly waited for Him. And for this reason, they were not included in the fateful decree of death in the wilderness. The Medrash says the women were not included in the requirement of dying in the wilderness. The women over 20 were not included, according to one opinion in the Medrash. Now, mothers and grandmothers were about to go up with the new generation to the promised land, bringing with them their personal recollections of the past in Egypt and of the journey in the wilderness under God's guidance. They could refresh the souls of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren from the spiritual wellspring of their experiences with God. The fact that these Jewish women were so deeply imbued with the Jewish spirit may be ascribed in no small part to Miriam, who set them a shining example as a prophetess. And one more point. This chapter, which describes briefly and simply the deaths of Aaron and Miriam, is preceded by the great Parah Aduma chapter, which teaches the Jewish concept of immortality. That chapter is in itself an important introduction to these deaths. Parah Aduma is an introduction to the death of Aaron and Miriam. it declares that what made Miriam into Miriam and what made Aaron into Aaron did not die when Miriam and Aaron died. Just as their work lives on forever in their nation, their true essence is eternal. It has now departed transient earthliness and returned to God, the source of all life. The Gemara says, Maseches Moed Katan Chav Ches Amud Aleph says of Hirsch, Lama Nismacha Misas Miriam Leparshas Parah Aduma? Why is the death of Miriam written right next to the Parah Aduma? Lama Lach to teach us, Ma Parah Aduma Mechaperes? Just like the Parah Aduma atones on the people, Af Misasan Shel Tzadikim Mechaperes. So too the death of righteous people atones for the Jewish people. The juxtaposition of these two chapters teaches that just as the chatas character of the Parah Aduma affects atonement, so does the death of tzaddikim affect atonement. This may well mean that just as the mitzvah of Parah Aduma teaches that the divine aspect of human nature is immortal and endowed with moral freedom, so does the death of tzaddikim teach us these truths. The life of the tzaddik lives on forever. Just like the soul lives on forever even after death, that's the Parah Aduma teaches man has moral ability and clarity and man's moral choices and man's mitzvos and masim tovim, his soul lives on even after he dies. So too, the Misas Tzaddikim teaches us that the life of the tzaddik continues even after the tzaddik dies. The effect that the tzaddik had on the world, the masim tovim, the mitzvos, the chesed, the whole life that the tzaddik did during his life. That was like Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky was trying to say. His acts, his ma'isim tovim, all the yeshivas he built, all the chasadim that he did, it's still around even after the person dies. Truly, the death of a tzaddik offers convincing proof of immortality. The death of a tzaddik, says Rav Hirsch, offers convincing proof of immortality. For only one who is spiritually blind would identify the tzaddik with his corpse, which lies inert, already marked by the traces of decay. How can one identify the corpse with what only a short time before had employed thought and will with spiritual strength and moral power? Only one who is blind would not see that the corpse of a tzaddik is merely the garment, the shoe, that's my word, of a man who departed and cast aside his cloak. That's what Rav Hirsch says about what death is. That's why Misas Tzaddikim is Mechaperes. Rav Hirsch understands what that Gemara is trying to teach us, is that the death of a tzaddik is Mechaper because the tzaddik is all about what he did in his life, not the deaths. Rav Hirsch sees a parallel between, just like the Parah Aduma teaches us what life is really about, so too the death of a tzaddik teaches us what life is really about. No one could look at the death of a tzaddik and say, oh, that's all he was, this corpse. You look at what he did in his life, what he accomplished, the spiritual levels that he achieved. So clearly he's not just about the body. So once he dies, the Misas Tzaddik teaches us about what life really is like, about what life really is made of. Because only a blind person can think that this guy was all about this body, which is dead now. No, he was about worlds and worlds and worlds more. That's a lesson to us. It teaches us about what life is really about, but Rav Hirsch's whole fundamental thing about what life is about. And just in closing, I gave you a supersized edition this week, a little bit for the long Shabbos afternoon. You have a lot of extra material. But he basically talks about what the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was. That's also in the parasha. He says, Moshe was only supposed to speak to the rock, not to hit the rock. Because by speaking to the rock, the lesson for the Jewish people would have been a little bit into English. This manner of obtaining water from the rock would have convinced the people of the great wrong they had done to Moshe and to Aaron. For they had accused Moshe and Aaron of having led them to this waterless place against the will of God, and this claim would have now been refuted. It is different if the water gushes forth only after a blow of the staff upon the rock. This still leaves room for the assumption that Moshe and Aaron had, on their own initiative, brought them to the wilderness of Tzin, that they had been justified in revolting, and that only this revolt and this distress and their distress had caused God to have mercy on them and to perform a miracle for them. But if the water would have been there all along, that would have been a riot. No, there was water here all along. I didn't have to smack it. It was there. It was there. I just talked to it. It was there the whole time. So obviously Hashem had this plan. Had the miracle come about as prescribed, the people would have learned that under God's guidance, they could banish all worries. They could be certain of receiving the right help at the right time. In other words, it would have been a tremendous chizuk for the Emunah. And basically, why did Moshe hit the rock? So Rav Hirsch understands that Moshe lost it a little bit. He got upset with the people and frustrated with them, and he, in his anger, he yelled at them, and he hit the rock. He lost it. It was just a matter of he was so angry that he just like slammed. He's so angry that people were complaining. How could you complain after all this time? He lost it a little bit. He says like this. If we are not mistaken in our whole approach thus far, Moshe's agitation sprang from the bitter feeling that his life work had been to no avail. Wow. All that he had done for the people had been in vain. For their attitude towards him was still that of stiff-necked Morim who paid no heed and were open to no persuasion. I was once talking to a shul rabbi who expressed the same feeling. Not in this community. Chas v'shalom. Not in this community.
How do you reconcile that idea with the previous idea that it's everlasting?
So let's see. He says a little more. Listen. On the one hand, this agitation is evidence that he had permitted his own personality to come to the fore, which is inappropriate for a man like Moshe. Let's remember, if Hirsch is the one who's always ready, he's always ready to attack the... He's always willing to admit the shortcomings. For the messenger's personality must recede in the face of the awareness of his mission. This is perhaps the most difficult of all trials, Barry. This is perhaps the most difficult of all trials. Never to lose patience, but to hope in God and wait patiently for him. On the other hand, this agitation attests to doubt. Even if only for a fleeting moment, in the ultimate success of the divine mission. For a moment, Moshe doubts whether the people will embrace its calling. Does not all this constitute a momentary decline of Emunah? For he who trusts need not fear. He holds fast to God no matter how antagonistic are the circumstances. Even if his mission stumbles, he does not question himself or his destiny. And this is the real test of faith, of his faith. A messenger of God is required to set God always before him, for there is nothing that can keep him from accomplishing his absolute will. He, with a capital H, does whatever he pleases. This awareness should always remain with the messenger, and nothing that befalls him should demoralize him. Like the angels that sanctify God's name, he should cover his eyes and cover his feet and strictly by the winged power of his mission carry out God's service. Does not the fulfillment of this requirement constitute a Kiddush Hashem in the midst of the people to whom this mission is directed? Hence, does not the charge Lo he'amantem bi lahakdisheni strike at the very heart of Moshe's lapse? Does it not define the inner nature of Moshe's impatient agitation? But he goes back on it. I got to finish this. But who would dare to complete the unspoken link between the sin and the punishment? And who would dare to define Aaron's part in this sin, whereby he was found deserving of the same punishment? In any event, in all its momentous significance, the fact remains, because of one small and so easily understandable moment of weakness in Emunah, the leaders of the nation, standing at the borders of the promised land, received a punishment similar to that decreed upon the generation of the wilderness for their constant lack of emunah. for Moshe and Aaron's momentary small lack of emuna, which is so understandable, they got the same punishment as the nation's constant lack of emuna. Wow. The leaders' graves, besides those of the people, bear eternal witness to the justice of the divine rule, upon whose scales even the slightest misstep of men close to God, hallowed by their divine service, weighs as heavily as the worst sins of ordinary mortals. Whew. God's rule completes its work on earth without the help of Moshe and Aaron, and thereby reveals itself in the whole kedusha of its absolute greatness. The accomplishment of its purposes is not dependent on any outside factor. Even Moshe and Aaron are not indispensable to it. Wow. And therefore he says, you know what the pshat is? This is what we're going to say tonight. You may have a sitter. I got the words. Moshe v'Aaron b'cho anav u'shmuel b'kori shemo korin el Hashem hu yanim ba'am adonu yidabar aleim shamre idosa v'chok nosan lomo Hashem Elokeinu atah anisam kel nosei ha'yisa lahem V'no came al ali losam. Romamu Hashem Elokeinu mishtachol lahar ladom raglav kadoshu. Romamu Hashem Elokeinu mishtachol lahar kadosho ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Even though Moshe and Aaron were so close to you, they didn't get a free pass. They didn't get a free pass. No one gets a free pass. Everyone is judged according to his own madrega, according to his own level. So my bracha to everybody here over the summer is that we should realize the incredible spiritual potential that we have. We should view our bodies as just that little, a little piece of us. Really, we have a soul that soars heavenwards. That's most of us. Just like the shoe is just like a little cover of the body. When I said before, Moshe Rabbeinu said, take off your shoes. God told him, take off your shoes. Moshe was totally spiritual. Moshe, you have incredible spiritual powers. Now, each of us, we don't have to be held to the standard of Moshe and Aaron, but we're held to our own high standards. It's just hard to know what your standard is. It's hard to know a little bit. I'm celebrating a pretty significant birthday this summer. Pretty significant birthday. So my wife commanded me as part of my birthday, I have to spend the day with my Rebbe. I'm going up to camp to spend the day with my Rebbe to have a little spiritual cheshbon hanefesh. A little spiritual accounting over the summer to calibrate, to see, you know, am I doing the right thing? Are we making the right decisions? Are we going in the right direction? Every person has to always, we're supposed to always be doing this, every day. Cheshbon HaNefesh, but particularly at certain times in life, you know, the summer is right before we know it, the Yom HaNorah will be right around the corner. Before we know it, we'll be back together. It's a good time to try to remember the message of the Parah Aduma. That the soul has the ability to control, especially in the summer. People start dressing down. People start, you know, making things start changing a little bit. We have to remember that we have the ability to control. We can't be controlled by what society around us, by the decisions that the society around us makes about these issues. We have to remember that we have that moral clarity, that neshama, that soul that controls us. We have that ability to make those choices. We have the moral freedom. Like the Rebbe Shem, that's the Tzelem Elokim, Rav Hirsch said. That's the Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim means just like God freely, independently decides to do what he wants to create the world or to not create it, so too we have the free, independent will to have dessert or not to have dessert. To submit to our taivas or to not submit to our taivas. To be a body that has a soul in it or a soul that happens to be ensconced in a body. That's the message of the Parah Aduma. The Mayim Chayim totally dissolves all of the Afer and the ashes. We think it's all about the ashes and the Afer. That's what we think. We think, oh my God, we're under the tremendous burden. We don't realize, like I like to say, like there's a Medrash somewhere that says that in the end of days, when we're going to see the Yetzihara, so for the Tzadikim, the Yetzihara is going to seem like a mountain, and for the Risharim, it's going to seem like a hare. So I always say that the tzaddikim are going to say, we can't believe how we conquered such a large mountain. And the Risharim are going to say, we can't believe how we weren't able to conquer just such a little hair. We weren't able to conquer just a little hair. Because once you control it, So the tzaddikim thought it was like it was the tzaddikim, they thought it was so easy. It was so we can't believe that way. It was such a huge mountain. We didn't realize it was such a big mountain, because once you control it, it's nothing. Once you control it, it's nothing. It's just like before you, oh my God, how am I going to do this? But once you succeed in, once the dieter, once he convinces himself that he doesn't need dessert, he doesn't even have the temptation. My brother-in-law does not even have the temptation to eat anything.
You have the temptation. Look at it, Rabbi.
My brother. Anyway, I want to wish everyone an awesome summer, and I want to give Hakara Satov. The same group that keeps coming back week after week. I don't know why you guys keep coming back. I don't know why you keep coming back. I don't know why. But I appreciate it because it gives me the ability to teach Torah and to grow myself. I wouldn't be growing myself. I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't have anybody to teach to. So I appreciate all the people listening online. There are some people, actually. There are some people who listen online. There are some people. They hear. They say, where was the shiur? Come, you didn't put the shiur up there. The Wi-Fi wasn't working. I couldn't get it up to the web. The Wi-Fi wasn't working. So we thank all the people for listening online. And I want to wish everybody a healthy and safe and inspiring and rejuvenating summer. And hopefully come back. And please feel free to make recommendations for what we're going to learn next year. I take the recommendations very seriously. I reserve the right to make the final choice, but I do take the recommendations very seriously. Have an awesome, fantastic summer. Have a great Shabbos.